Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Diane Adams, your host for Inspirational Wednesday. This is truly a day that God has made, and we should learn to rejoice and be glad in it. You know, it's another week. And for everyone that is called in, it lets us know that God still have us in the land of the living. You know, everybody didn't make it. And there's a lot of funerals all around the city. But God saw fit to allow us to be here one more time. And for that, I say thank you. For God using us to come together on a Wednesday as a group, as a Bible study ministry, and we come together each Wednesday. That's commitment. And God say that he will put our names in a book of remembrance, because nothing good, no good deed goes undone. And it's just a wonderful thing. It's just a wonderful thing. But as always, you know, it's an honor and a privilege to come together. And I thank God again, because I just can't thank him enough. You know, the scripture says, if I had 10,000 tongues and I use them all to thank God, it still wouldn't be enough. So I feel good tonight, y'all. And I pray that everyone had a great week and some of the things that you've been praying for has been manifested in your life. And maybe you may be going through something right now. But our lesson theme tonight is, no matter what's going on in your life, God is in total control. And with that, we can hold on to faith. Because the scripture said that God said, in the scripture, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We have to believe that. We have to hold on to the confession of our faith. And we have to hold on that if God said it, we can believe it. But as always, at this time, it's time for us to go to the throne of grace with prayer. And my grandson is with me tonight. And he's going to lead us into prayer. But I have to ask everybody if they wanted to pray and you press the one button on your phone, I'll open the phone up and you could pray as well, because there's never too many prayers. So as I do this, we're going to go to the throne of grace in prayer. After that, we have a guest soloist, Miss Elyria Mackey from Boothville, Louisiana. She sung on the program before, and I got so many responses how they really enjoyed her music, and I'm honored that she's back with us tonight. She's going to do the opening song as well as the closing song before the prayer and the benediction on the end. So we're going to go ahead and get started with the prayer. After the prayer, we're going to go straight into the lesson. So let me get Madison on the line. Madison?
Yes, ma'am.
You on the line?
Yes.
Would you like to pray?
Yes.
Would you like to say anything else to the people tonight?
I hope you like the lesson.
Go ahead.
God, thank you for this Wednesday, that people are able to call in and listen to stuff about you that happens and lessons that makes us understand more things about you, and to go out in the world and spread the word. So when we die and come up to heaven with you, you'll be able to tell us that we've done a good job on earth doing your deed. And we thank you for sending your son down to die for us for sin. As without him, we'll all be going to hell when we grow older and die. And people doesn't like that. Children right now are being scared of that. but they don't know when they grew up, and they know if they believe in God, they won't go to hell. So thank you for allowing us to have certain choices in life, like to believe in you and go to church and do different things. And for the people who don't believe in you, let them believe in you sooner now, so when they die, they'll be able to go to heaven, God. Thank you. For the people listening here right now, bless them, because they have the time out of their day, and they might have some important tomorrow, but they're tuning in to learn more things about you, God. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
I just want to say thank you, Madison. That's Madison Andrew Chambers. That's my grandson. That's my boy. And I just want to say to everybody, you know, I just love the Lord. And we're going to turn the mic over to Sister Elyria Mackey. Sister Mackey, you don't even have to, let me see if I can find your number. Miss Mackey, press the one button on your phone and I'm going to open up your mic. It's already done in Jesus' name. Miss Mackey, your mic is now open. Would you like to say anything to the people tonight?
No, I'm just calling in. I enjoyed that prayer from your grandson. I just hope they be blessed with the song, because from the lessons, I thought of this song to sing. And the song says, except the Lord build a house, they that build labors in vain.
Thank
except you. The Lord build the house, they that build labors in vain. Except the Lord build the house, don't you know your labor, your labor's in vain. Except the Lord build the house, they that build labor's in vain. You've got to build your house in Jesus' name. Sometimes while building on faith, love, joy and doctrine sound, the devil comes around acting bad and tough, trying to blow your house down. Though Satan can come with a huff and a puff, you see he's in for a terrible shock, because my house is built up on Christ, the solid rock. Oh, except the Lord build the house, they that build labors in vain. Except the Lord build the house, don't you know your labor's in vain. Except the Lord build the house, they that build labors in vain. And you've got to build your house in Jesus' name. Sometimes while building on faith, love, joy, and doctrine sound, the devil comes around acting bad and tough. He's trying to blow your house down. Though Satan can come with a huff and a puff, you see he's in for a terrible shock, because a house is built up on Christ, the solid rock. Oh, except the Lord build the house, they that build labors in vain. If Jesus not building your house, don't you know your labor, your labor's in vain. Except the Lord build the house, they that build labor in vain. And we've got to build our house in Jesus' name.
Well, amen.
Amen.
I sure do. Thank you, Sister Larry. And towards the end of the program, I can open your mic back again, and you could lead us out with a song. You know, we could praise God through music, and there's message in the music that can help us to understand the things of God. You know, we could worship God in song. And I want to thank Sister Elyria for using her talent, you know, what God has given her, to share it with each and every one of you on the program. You know, God said we have to use our talents, our time, our resources, and our money towards kingdom building. If not, all of your labor would be in vain. So, Sister Elyria, I thank you, and I'll open your mic back towards the end, and I'm going to go ahead and start with the program. And I pray that everyone be blessed, you know, and I pray and ask that the Holy Ghost use me, his vessel, to bring a word to you, that you won't stop up your ears, but it would take and go in your ears and penetrate your heart, and then it would regulate your mind that you could be better tomorrow than yesterday. So we're going to go ahead into the lesson. We're going to explore the word of God, and we're going to use this as our instrument to go forth, because the scripture says the word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our pathway. So we have to use the word to guide us through all circumstances. And I'm going in a lesson right now, and I pray that everyone is blessed, and at the end of the program that God's word will not return void, and that the Holy Ghost will give illumination and revelation to all those who desire it, in Jesus' name. And thank you again, Sister Mack, and I'll open your mic later.
Okay.
Our night lesson tonight, the title of the lesson is, No Matter What's Going On in Our Lives, God is in Control. The lesson is coming from the book of James. It's going to be in the first chapter, the second through the eighth verse. Those who have your Bible, turn to it. And what I'm going to start doing, once I decide what the lesson's going to be on Wednesday, I'll send out a text so that you could be studying during the week and you could have something, because it was real exciting when we did Malachi 1, 2, and 3. Everybody knew what to expect, and those who meditated and studied on it came to it with some knowledge already. So I'm going to try to do that going forward. As always, I give a little book background, and the book of James was written by James. And most of you already know that James was the half-brother of Jesus. And they say half-brother, of course, because they had the same mother but not the same father. You know, Joseph was James' father, and God himself through the Holy Spirit was our Lord and Savior, Master Jesus' father. You see, it is so interesting that James, along with his brothers, didn't believe that their brother Jesus was the Messiah until after his resurrection. God, Jesus did a resurrection showing to James, and then James believed. But you see, once you meet Jesus and see him for who he is, we all should do like James. James became a pillar in the church. James did the work of God. James didn't turn back around, and he went out forcefully. And in the end, he was martyred for his beliefs in Jesus Christ. It is usually that way. Sometimes the one that's the closest to you find it hard to recognize your greatness, your gifts, or your talents. You see, the book of James is called a letter or an epistle, and it could be considered the how-to book on Christian living. So if you're questioning yourself sometime and wondering if you're doing it right and what God expects of a Christian, I could suggest to you to go to James, because James has been classified as the how-to book on Christian living. You see, the pages of this letters are full of confrontation, challenges, and call to commitment. The book is loaded with challenges of one's faith and the result of obedience and good deeds that prove your faith. Now watch what I said. The good deeds that prove your faith. You see, James makes the statement and is very known for this. And a lot of you may always quote this. You know, James was the one that said, faith without works is dead. If a person has true faith, you should be able to see their works. You know, we don't have to go around wearing a badge that I'm a Christian. You act like one and people will see it. Come on now. They say, you know, the fruit. Your fruit should be showing and flowing. Your light should be beaming. The scriptures say, let your light so shine that men may see your works and glorify God the Father, not glorify you. But James said, if a person has true faith, you will be able to see their works. You know, there's a lot of things in the theological world that says James and Paul contradict each other. And for anybody who want to prove, say that the Bible contradicts itself, they use this statement all the time. Because James say faith without works is dead, but Paul say your works can't save you. Paul stated that we are not saved by works, but by grace through faith in our Lord and Savior Christ is the only way. And God set that up so no man can boast. You see, some people that think that they contradict each other, but really they complement each other, because true faith works. He used bold illustration to point out a reminder that are meant to motivate the believers to perform good work. Now, I could tell you like Paul's statement, we are saved by grace alone. James say we, you know, faith without works is dead. We can't do good works to be saved. But once God saved us, we should want to work. Bam, complimenting one another, because both of them are necessary. James also brings to light Jesus' message that a tree is known by its fruits. And in the salutation of his letter, when y'all read these different letters and epistles, usually in the salutation, that person's going to say who they are or why they're writing it. But in the salutation of this letter, he calls him a servant. James calls himself a servant of God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, giving all honor to Jesus that is due him. You see, everybody can make a change. James didn't believe, but then he did. It's not when you didn't believe, but it's what you do once you believe. You know, plenty of us is walking around and we know about salvation and once saved, always saved, and through God's grace and the unmerited gift, we are definitely saved. We know that. But you're saved, but you should ask yourself, what now? Don't sit on your salvation. Don't just look at it as if it's completed. Well, when you got saved, you got a new whole life. You got born again, and it's time to do new things towards our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm going to start with the scripture, and it's the first chapter, the second verse, and it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. You see, here we see that James makes the statement that when you fall, he did not say if you fall. You see, this life will have divers, and that word divers mean many. So when you say divers, or you could say means many, you could say this life have many temptations, which is a form of testing. So we're going to have many temptations. and temptation is a form of testing. But you see, the testing could come from many places. It's rather, it could come from the world, which represents Satan, or from God. You see, the Bible lets us know that we all fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short, and we can't fall short unless we was tempted and we gave in. And we're going to be tempted till we die, and we're going to fall short till we die. But in the meantime, we should have a desire to be better tomorrow than we are today. Your negative experience ought to be accepted with joy. See what he said, count it all joy. So the reason he put that in the scripture, you're going to have many temptations, you're going to fall, but count it all joy. Not for the trials itself, but for the positive work God can accomplish through the testing. You see, God uses trials, temptation, and testing to mature us. He sometimes do it to get us out of a situation. He sometimes do it to put us in a new situation. You know, that's why when you're going through, I always say, I'm not going through, I'm going to where God is going to lead me. You have to remember that, and we have to become mature. So how could you become mature if you don't have bad times? How are you going to know the good times? And God uses everything for his glory. Everything he created, he used for his glory. And remember, God created good and evil as well. God knew it was necessary to have evil, because if you didn't have any evil, you couldn't understand how good his blessings are. Come on now. How could we know when we are blessed if there was no bad times? God is in control and has designed or allowed everything that happened in your life. So learn to trust him, even in the midst of your storm. The joy James is speaking about can only be achieved if you have the blessed assurance and know who you are as a child of God. You can't stand firm until you truly know who you are. And I want to let you know tonight, you'll never know who you are until you know who your Maker is. You must know and understand that there's a difference between happy and joy. People go around all day long looking for happy. But I'm going to tell you something. You see, that joy that James is talking about, joy still stands in the midst of a storm. But you see that happy? It blows away with the winds of a storm. You see, happy only happens when something that you want to happen. But joy is always present in the midst of the storms of our life. You see, it's a fruit of the Spirit sustaining us until the storm is over. Okay, let me tell you a little bit about happy in a way I like to always explain it. Let's say somebody break in your house tonight and steal all your jewelry and everything that you had. You're going to be sad, or you're going to feel some emotions. You're not going to be happy, I guarantee you that. But let's say somebody tomorrow come and give you a blessing of a whole bunch of money. You're going to be happy. You know, eventually the money will probably go, and, you know, that's temporal. But you see, that's happy. Happy happens when something you want to happen. If you're not perceiving it as something you like or want, it doesn't make you happy. But with joy, no matter what's going on in your life, you could be up or down or turn around. When you understand joy, which comes from God and it's a fruit, you could be all right. You could be all right. You see, even in our temptations, trials, and testing, the scripture tells us that if we love the Lord, he will work it out. You got to remember, God knows best. You see, something could be going on in your life and you want it to turn out this way. God, in his ultimate wisdom, know that if he give it to you like you want it, it ain't going to last, it's not going to be profitable, and it ain't going to do you no good. Come on now. So God does what he knows is best for you. Remember, he created you. He says in Jeremiah 29 and 11, I know the thoughts I have towards you. That was in the Old Testament that God told the prophet to tell the people. And when he told it to the people, it's for us as well. God knows what you need and what you don't need. You see, temptation is an enticement or an invitation to sin. You should know that Satan is the greatest tempter and God is the greatest deliverer. People often say that God will not allow more on you than you can handle. And when I always heard that all my life, and when I wanted to write something about it, I looked in the Bible for that scripture. But the scripture that people use, I'm going to tell you what it really says. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians, for those who are writing, 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, the scripture says, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now that's the scripture. And we use it to say, God put no more on you than you could bear. But he's talking about, I won't let you be tempted beyond what you could do. You know, at the point where you can't take it no more, I'm going to stop it. And he said, there has no temptation taken you but such as common to man. What he's saying that? God is saying nothing that ever happened or will happen to you has not already happened to somebody else. So see, when we get in our pity party and feel like this is the first time it happened, and it, you know, it might have happened to you, but it didn't happen this way. God said there's nothing common to man, nothing that can happen to you that has not already happened. You remember, there's nothing new under the sun. And God is saying, it didn't happen to somebody else, and just like them, I brought them through, and just like you, I brought you through. And you see, it ain't nothing new. So don't feel like what you're going through, nobody understands. If it's a death of a loved one, most people have someone that they love died. If it's financial problem, they got people living under the bridge. If it's health problems, some people get sick, and the lady in the Bible had the issue of blood for, what, 12 years or however many years, you know? Ain't nothing that can happen to you has not already happened. And through it all, God, as the creator and the operator of this world, is working it out for the good. Now, you may not come out like I come out, or I may not come out like what you come out, but if you trust God, you know it's all good. And at some point, when you begin to work your faith and you begin to know who you is, when all of this happened, and no matter how it look, taste, or smell, you could say, it is well. Hallelujah. It is well with my soul. You know, we don't really know how much we can truly bear a stain. So sometimes it may feel that God is taking too long to deliver. But we have to remember, it's not our will, but God's will. God's timing is not governed by our timetable. You would think that the many trials that you have experienced in life should produce maturity. But look around. It don't always happen. We got people been in a church 90 years and they still acting like a child in the things of God. We have people in a church been in there 50 years and they don't know Genesis is the first book of the Bible and Revelation is the last. So even though you go through trials and tribulation and God used testing to mature, it don't always happen because God bring the provision, but you have to accept it and work your faith. and how you know that it don't bring maturity, because so many of us keep doing the same mistakes or continuing in the same sin over and over and over again. Sometimes trials and tribulations can make you bitter instead of making you better, and you begin to blame God for your shortcomings. In all of this, we have to, at the end of the day, evaluate ourselves to see what part we are playing in our trials with disobedience. God gave you money and put it in your hand, and yet you didn't pay your bills, your light off. Evaluate. God give you the word, and yet we don't read it. Evaluate. God said, talk to me, and he gave us the instrument of prayer to be able to do it. He said, because I want an intimate relationship with you. And you sometimes feel that God is not concerned with you or he's not close to you. Evaluate yourself. We have to know and believe the word of God by faith with joy, and believe that he will see us through. And I'm going to read verse 3 and 4 now. And it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You see, this scripture, these two scriptures let us know. When it's a scripture saying, knowing this. If you see a scripture and it start off with knowing this, what it is telling you? It say, know this. It says, in knowing this, it means what it's about to say, accept it as a fact. And it's true, and it's not going to change. It's like gravity. You know, it's like the law of the of nature. When you see knowing this, and what come after it is a fact. And so if we look at it with those eyes, they say, which mean accepting it as a fact, that your faith will work patience. So if you have faith, and you have faith that works, it will produce patience. No doubt about it. How you see sometimes some people are so calm in every situation? And they're human just like you. You know, plenty of times people say, well, Diane, you don't worry about nothing. You know, just about all my life when I didn't even understand. Well, I ain't going to say I didn't understand, but I wasn't devoting myself towards God. But, you know, it's just the way I was. But I was like everybody else. I felt everything and I went through everything. But I had ability to still operate and manage in the midst of it. And that was joy in me. I didn't know what it was. See, the joy let me know that it was going to be all right. And I prayed the prayer of serenity. You know, God, give me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change. Change the things that I can, and wisdom to know the difference. That's power. That's joy. And it produced patience. So we see here that in order to have patience, we must work our faith. James said, faith without works is dead. Faith is belief in someone or something. You know, some people put their faith and trust in their jobs. Some people right now is trusting their money. Some think their education is all that they need. Or other people, you know, that man, that woman, my dad, my mom. And at some point, all of these could, and most of the time would, at some point or another, let you down. You see, as Christians, we should place our faith in Jesus Christ, for he is faithful. The Bible said that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. when we place our faith in Jesus, we believe that the things, come on now, watch this. Trusting God and putting our faith in Jesus, we believe that the things we cannot see in the present will come to pass. And through it all, no matter how or when, we're going to have the victory. And, you know, Jesus paid the price, and he got the keys from Satan, and we know we have the victory. But I'm talking about victory right here on earth through your trials, tribulation, adversities as well. You know, last week I told you, don't just put salvation on a back burner. Salvation is with us here. And this is talking about that in a sense, the victory that we're going to have right here on earth. Remember this. If you can see it, you don't need faith. Faith is trusting in God and believing that God is able to see us through every situation that may come our way. True faith should conform our conduct as well as our thoughts. And I have to ask the question tonight, are we being conformed to the flesh or transform each and every one of us should evaluate ourselves? After saying that we must now take a good look at what patience is and what patience does. Patience is accepting and waiting for a change to come. Patience allows you to bear annoyances, misfortune, pain without complaining, loss of temper, becoming irrational, and all of that good stuff alike. Patience make you meek. You see, in this world we live in, they tell you if you meek, you beat. But the Bible teaches us that meekness is self-control. Meekness is strength under control. I'm going to say that again. The world we live in, they say if you're meek, you beat. Scriptures tell us that meekness is strength and self-control. Patience allow you to bear all these things. It is the ability or willingness to surpass restlessness. You know how when you're excited to get restless and you're worried about what's happening, you can't sleep at night? But it is the ability or willingness to surpass, to not have to go through that. And my motto is don't panic till it's time anyway. Because you see what it does automatically when you're not patient and when you don't have joy, you automatically allow fear to come in. Fear not just being afraid of the boogeyman. Fear is what gets in our body that makes us become disoriented, that makes us become in despair and make us come depressed, and it makes us do all these things, and your stomach starts sometimes bubbling up and your head starts hurting. That's what I'm talking about. But you see, fear is the evidence of something that may appear to be real. You see, God is not a God of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. You see, fear is a product of Satan that he uses to immobilize you in your trials and tribulations, that you can't see the blessings. You know, like you're in a forest and you can't see the trees. Hallelujah. You see, that's a trick of Satan. Because, you see, fear is the evidence of something that may appear to be real. How many times you got bad news and you went through all of the emotions and sadness and it didn't even turn out like what you thought it was? That's what I'm talking about. You see, patience is quiet, it's calm, it's steady, it perseveres, it's even-tempered, and it's diligent. You can't know the depths of your character until you know how you will react under pressure. And the old people say all the time, pressure will bust a pipe. How could they associate high blood pressure with getting upset? Well, really, you know, let's put it in the biblical, with your trials, tribulations. And I'm not saying that's the only reason you have high blood pressure, but it is sure enough one of the triggers. Because, you see, pressure will bust a pipe. God wants to make us mature, complete, perfect, and entire. That means whole. But not to keep us from pain. You see, James told us earlier that we will fall. You see, patience is a virtue, and just like joy, it's a fruit of the Spirit. You see, when you accepted Christ, the Holy Ghost came to live inside of you, and once you accept Christ as your Savior, he brought the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. And joy and patience, there's two of them, but there's nine. And I didn't say the fruit of the Spirit. I say the fruit of the Spirit. And sometimes people want to know why I'm not saying it plural. Because God sent that gift. And it's one gift and it's all hooked together. And it's all for you. And it is his desire that you work them all out. You know, a lot of times people look at the nine fruits of the Spirit. They say, well, and I done got patience down, but I'm still working on that. And it's okay to work on it because we under construction and God is not through with us. But it is God's desire that we could have all of them working together for our good. Come on now, y'all. And if you want to look at the fruit of the Spirit, go to Galatians 5:22. And you can see all of them. When you let patience accomplish her work, you will not want for nothing, but you will be waiting in joy. Patience working in you and with you in trials, allow you to know that you have the victory, which brings spiritual growth and maturity. You have to become patient, y'all. You have to walk in joy to become mature. You see, when we first came to Christ, he said we was babe, we was drinking milk. He said we couldn't digest the meat. But as we mature, we began to chew on the meat. Are you still drinking meat, milk, or can you eat the meat, evaluate. You see, patience give you time to grow. Patience give you time to grow and will accomplish what it set out to do. So instead of complaining about your struggles, we could look at it as an opportunity to grow. You know, every time I'm in a trial, tribulation, adversities, you know what the first thing I tell God? Lord, I pray that you allow me to know the lesson that's there for me to learn. More lessons you learn, that brings on maturity, right? You see, God allowed Job to be tested. But remember, he did it with a watchful eye. Satan couldn't do anything to Job without first getting permission from God. And that's the same way God works in your life. Let's look at it for a minute. If Satan could do what he wants to do with you, we would all be dead. Think about our life when we was out there hipping and slipping and slipping and sliding. If Satan could, he could have got you then. You wasn't praising God. You wasn't trying to read the Bible, but God saw you through. He built a hedge around you that didn't allow Satan to take you out. So now since you fellowshipping and loving on and have a desire and respecting and giving reverence, what more you think God will do for you? I want to let you know God got you. But sometimes I wonder, what else do God have to do for us to understand that fact? Because when you truly understand that fact, you could go through life a little calmer, a little patient, with more joy. Come on now. With more love, with more faith. You could be long-suffering with one another. you're going to see that's the fruits in the spirit if you go to Galatians 5 and 22. Now we're on our other verse. We're on 5, 1, 5, 1, 6, and 1, 7. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give to all men liberally and unbridled not, and it shall be given. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavered is like a wave in the sea, driven with the winds and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God. And 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Y'all know that. Y'all know that. When we look at the word wisdom, the Bible said that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So, how, you know, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, okay? Wisdom is the ability to discern. Everybody want to have the discernment, to be able to discern or judge that which is right, true, and have lasting insight. You can't have that without wisdom. You see, wisdom give us insight and discernment. The Bible often used in a New English Bible where the King James have the word wisdom. The New English Bible or the NIV use, when where wisdom is, they plenty of times use the word common sense and good judgment. Wisdom give us a wise outlook, a plan, and a course of action. I know that we all know some educated fools. They went to school, did the work, but they didn't use common sense, They went to school, they did the work, but they didn't have common sense to get it all done. And they don't have enough common sense to figure out the simplest of things. You know, an intelligent person may have a profound idea and get nowhere with it. How many people know people like that? You see, but a wise person put the ideas into action. You know, a knowledgeable person may make a lot of money but don't know how to manage it and lose it all, everything that he gained. But a wise person can have a little yet manage well and gain a lot and keep it all. You know, it's never how much you make, but what you do with it. We all know that. You should know that common sense is not so common to some people. Look at it. You have never seen a school of wisdom, no school, no wisdom degree offered, or no course to achieve a PhD in wisdom. Wisdom only comes from God, and he gives it liberally and freely to all that acts. He will not withhold wisdom from you. We have not in plenty cases because we ask not. You know, plenty of times we are going to God for things we think is right that we need, and we leave out the other things. Last week a young lady told me after teaching a lesson on salvation, she said, you could have told us to pray to God for salvation right here on this earth that can help us to live until we receive the ultimate salvation. And I'm telling you tonight, you should pray for wisdom. Because he's saying you want it, you got to ask. In asking God, we must line our requests up with the will of God. There are certain things that are out of the will of God that God will not dwell in. We must have confidence that God will align our desires with his purpose. And I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to read it again, because that's the way God plans work. I'm going to read it again. We must have confidence that God will align our desires up with his purpose. God has a purpose for you. He's going to align your desire to that purpose so that you could do it well and he can be pleased. You know, in Philippians 2 and 13, it says, it's God that worketh in us to will and to do his good pleasures. God don't ask nothing of you. He didn't even ask you, even with him having a purpose for your life, he provided all the provisions. You see, a double-minded man is unstable. Jesus said the same thing when he spoke in Matthew 6 and 24. For those who write in Matthew 6 and 24, he said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. We cannot serve God and mammon, and that word mammon means man. You know, you want to serve God today and mammon and man tonight. You want to pick the things out the Bible that's easiest for you, that you're all right with changing, but the things you're not ready to change, you don't. Your loyalty to God cannot be divided. Your loyalty to God cannot be divided with anyone or anything. Being double-minded is like a drunken man, unstable and unable to walk a straight line. Just like the scripture says, swaying. He sway one way and then to another. You ever try to talk sense to a drunk man? You tell a man, don't go in the street because you're going to hit by a car. Get hit by a car. And he might look up at you and he say, yalla, blah, yeah, blah, blah, blah. You know, foolishness to try to put rationale in an irrational situation. You see, a person that's double-minded has no defined directions, and as a result, don't get anywhere. And besides that, wherever they end up, that's just where they're at. They didn't plan to be anywhere else. Because you got to make a plan, and you got to work your plan for success. God and the things of this world are of such opposite in nature that it is impossible to love either one of them completely without hating the other. That's how far opposite on the spectrum they are. And for us to realize, we got to stop holding on to a compromising spirit. We compromise for this, we compromise for that, we put a little compromise in here and we take a little bit out of here. And it's a spirit, and it's not a spirit of God. We are told that we are in the world, but not of this world. And as I finish them verses, I want you to know that God is a jealous God, and he will not accept a service that is divided with Satan, people, places, or things. And as I close tonight, I want to say that James has let us know that we will have trials and temptations in our lives. If we apply the word of God in time of trouble, we will have success. You know, you got to have some word to put it on that situation. You know, I said, you know, sometimes something happened. I said, yeah, God, but in your word, you know, like when I got sick, I said, but you, in your word, you said, we were healed. And by your stripes, I'm healed. And I believe you. And I counted it joy. And I patiently waited. And God brought me through. It's not about what happened in our life. What makes the difference is who we go through it with. God said just because we love him and we Christians, he never said we wouldn't have trials and tribulations. We're not exempt. We live in the world. Katrina came. Mostly everybody in New Orleans, everything got wet. The good, the bad, and the ugly. That strong Christian's house got wet. But some things just happen. Come on now, y'all. So we're going to have trials in this life. And James said we should take our trials and temptations with joy, realizing that God is in control and he is constantly molding and shaping us into his intended purpose for his service. Use patience in dealing with all situations in your life, because you see, Isaiah, for those who are writing, 40 and 31 said, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. Come on now. He's saying you're waiting, you're going to have new strength. And I want to tell you, while you're being patient, God is still seeing you through. Because think about it. When you went through the worst trial in your life, you still was living in a house, you still was eating food. If you had a job, you were still going to work. There's provision in being patient. God don't ask you to be patient and take his hand off you and let you be stuck out there and set you up to fail. What more? Think about it. But the scriptures say, yet those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like an eagle. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Believe it, y'all. The word of God lets us know that provisions, even in our time of waiting, whenever we are patiently waiting, God still takes care of us. He lets us know that wisdom is necessary, and we can only receive it if we ask God. And everything that we do must be done in faith, and wavering cause us to be double-minded. We can't receive anything from God in that state. Just because we love the Lord, we will still have trials and tribulations in our lives. And I came to tell you tonight that sometimes it's only a test. We should be, as Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and stop leaning to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Let God lead, and you learn how to follow. That's our lesson for the night. And I pray that each and every one of you were blessed. And at this time, if anybody would like to make a comment, add to it, put some more insight, anything, you may press the one button on your phone. If anyone would like to, you could press the one button on your phone. Well, it's 9:28, and there's no comments to go forward. I still have Miss Mackie that's going to sing us another song. After the singing of the song, I'm going to do the prayer and benediction. And if anybody is led to say anything at that time, we still have time, and I can still open your mic. But I'm bringing Miss Elyria Mackey back because I don't have any buttons pushed. And she's going to sing us another song. And after that, I'll do the prayer and the benediction. Miss Elyria?
Yes, ma'am.
I didn't know if you wanted to make a comment, because once you pressed the one button earlier, you wouldn't have the opportunity to press it again. But as you could see, I could open your mic. So if you wanted to make any comments, you could do it at this time.
I enjoyed it. And I know you asked me to sing something, but when you was talking, I got this song. So God willing.
Let God lead you, baby. I was giving you what I want. God gave you what he wants. He trumps me out, you know. I'm a little bit next to that, you know. I'm a filthy rag next to that. So do his thing, and it'll be
okay.
Well done.
Be encouraged, someone else. I'll do that song for you next week.
All right, if the lesson led you to do that, that's my. See, I did the lesson, and now you're finna give him that. You putting the fixing to put the cherry on it. And if the lesson led you to that, there's probably some message to, like, in dealing with the lesson, and I think that's a very good thing. So you
okay.
could Go ahead.
I am weak and I need thy strength and power to help me over my weakness. Let me through the darkness, thy face to see. Lead me, oh Lord, lead me, lead me, guide me. Along the way, for if you lead me, I will not stray. Let me walk each day, Lord, I pray with thee. Lead me, oh Lord, lead me, lead me, guide me along the way. For if you lead me, I will not stray. Lord, let me walk each day with thee. Lead me, oh Lord, lead me. I am lost if you take your hand from me. I am blind without your light to see. Lord, just always let me thy servant be. Lead me, oh Lord, lead me, lead me, guide me along the way. For if you lead me, I cannot stray. Lord, let me walk each day with thee. Lead me, oh Lord, lead me, oh Lord, lead me, oh Lord, lead me. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Cecilia Real. I'm not going to call them songs. I'm going to call them P.R.D. hymns. You bring us into the throne of grace. And I pray that you be willing to bless us some more on other Wednesdays. It's really a blessing.
Okay.
And really,
but at the end of your message, that song came to me.
Well, we know God was in the house, and we know the Holy Ghost is here. So that's a blessing as well. That's confirmation. And I sure thank you. At this time, if anyone would like to say anything, you can press the one button, or we're going to go ahead and do the prayer. If you have anything to say, and I'm so happy I had Illyria in the beginning, and I had her in the end, and Madison is still with us, so he could do the closing prayer tonight, and I'll just do the benediction and we'll go off. So at this time, Madison, you could do the prayer.
God, thank you for allowing people to come in tonight and listen to what my grandma had to say, and thank you for the people who sung, because that's showing that there's other people out there who are using their voice to spread God's word around. Thank you. And please be with those people tonight. Let them be well rested for work, meeting, job interviews, or anything tomorrow, God. Please be with them and let everything go smooth, because they took their time out of studying or working with bills or trying to plan something for their job tomorrow. Instead, they came to you, God. And thank you for taking your time out of your doings right now, blessing other people to listen to what we have to say about you, God. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Well, Madison, I sure enough thank you for that prayer. And I hope you call in on Wednesdays and continue to keep praying. So that's our lesson for tonight. And I'm going to go ahead and do a benediction, and we're going to sign off for tonight. And I pray that each and every one of you be back on next week. I want you to remember that God loves you, and so do I. And I want you to know that it is a privilege for me to do this, and it's a labor of love that God has put in my hand that I could share with the people. My message is not for everybody, you know, and that's why God has so many teachers and preachers and churches. But, you know, you guys have been with me, hallelujah, and, you know, and it's past 2 years, and some been in the beginning, and, you know, and I'm elated about that, and I'm grateful about that, and I'm thankful about that, that God can use me. And I'm going to go ahead and do the benediction. We're going to close for the night because it's now 9:35 or something. But I close with letting you know that grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, that's our commandment. And may the God of peace that surpasses all understanding be with you until we meet again. I pray that each and every one of you have an exciting, great week. Something happened for you this week that you can't even believe was going to happen. I hope that in Jesus' name for each and every one of you. And right now I tell you good night. Thank God for you and be blessed. Our program is now ended. I love each and every one of you. God say we owe no man but to love him. And for the service and for the commitment when you call each week, you know, that makes me love you with a true love as a sister and brothers in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. And good night.
gonna be clacking. It was good. And I didn't even print the paper.
Are you ready to go see?
But I can't have the studio up in there.
Even a singer. I know. He didn't write his rap, but I like how he, like how his voice was. So like, yeah.
I got to listen to one that's
rap.
Thank you.